I want you to put yourself in this family's position and think about this little boy.
Like T-O-Y or maybe S-U-R-P-R-I-S-E. But the words we're hiding from him now tear the heart right out of me.
All right, everybody, sing it with us.
Our D-I-V-O-R-C-E.
I guess we probably shouldn't be taking this subject so lately, Tim.
Don't throw me under the bus. We have a divorce lawyer. You just solved your marital problems. Like, you answer this question, buddy.
Well, we could not. Well, we could, I guess. But we could, no. I was gonna say we couldn't finish the show without having Don Bennett as part of the whole thing, because Don has been.
She's been with you longer than me, I think.
Yeah, I think we have. Don, how do you feel about this lengthy relationship we've had?
Bittersweet.
Tim, yeah, Tim's bittersweet. New. Tim, are you new here?
Bittersweet. Oh, bittersweet. Glad to be a part of the end and, you know, the whole process. It's all good.
You have given us some of the best, most direct answers when it comes to some of the most complicated things.
Okay. Before you start grilling me, though, Drew.
Oh, I'm grilling you.
Okay, no, because I'm just... No, I'm ready. I'm seated. I got my thinking cap on.
Okay.
But it is Mother's Day weekend.
Yes.
And so I just want to say happy Mother's Day to the best mom on the planet.
Oh.
Grace Bennett, my mom, because I know she's listening.
Is she?
And she's saying probably, Dawn, don't talk too fast. Think before you answer the questions. Just stay calm. So.
And I can verify that she's one of the most amazing
sweetest ladies.
Mummies on the planet.
Really?
That's right.
Oh, yeah.
So happy Mother's Day, Ma.
What is one thing, like if I was to meet your mom, what would be the first thing that would stand out for me?
How different we are.
What?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
She's very quiet. She's very tiny. She's very gentle. But she's also very wise. She has a quiet wisdom.
Huh.
Yeah. Because my parents have a very traditional marriage. They've been married about 55 years, 56 years. Long time.
Well done. Well done.
Exactly. So
why the heck are you in the divorce business?
Well, you know, I've seen the best, but I've seen how they've worked out their differences. And also, because I know my dad is listening too.
Uh-oh.
That because they have a very traditional marriage where my dad's like, you know, head of the household, that. But my mom, she knows how to influence him without him knowing he's being influenced.
Oh,
so he always
he
thinks
does
he's,
now.
Yeah, exactly. So he always thinks he's in charge. But my mom, she's the one who kind of, you know, rules the roost.
What was that old expression? The man may be the head of the house, but
the woman turns
is
it.
The neck.
Yeah, she's the neck. Exactly.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah, she's a great neck. Yeah.
So your mom and dad liked a neck.
Easy.
Is that what I heard?
Easy.
Is that what
easy.
I think
easy.
I just heard that.
Too much
easy.
Information.
Whoa.
How do you think you got here, Dawn?
Okay.
In a traditional way.
Yes, thank
That's
you.
That's right. Well, BennettLaw.ca, I love one of the greatest things about doing this show has been being able to partner with advertisers that I actually like or that I actually believe in, that I actually am fond of. And when I saw you in court.
Back at that again.
Yeah, I'm here always going there because I just sat in the back of the room and went,
Yeah. Okay. Okay.
You know, I was this far from calling you.
I'm glad you didn't, because I didn't know what was going on behind me until I turned around and saw you and thought, oh, God.
No, hold on.
No, no.
You know that I was this far from calling you because I was going through my own separation.
Okay.
Did you know about all that?
I did. Small world.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I thought, oh, you know, Don's going to have to get the phone call. Don's going to have to get the phone call.
Yeah. And phone calls from friends are tough.
Yeah,
I don't like those.
And don't take this the wrong way, but I'm glad I didn't have to call you.
And I concur. I agree. I agree. Yeah, because it's not easy. It's not easy. And I'm glad you worked it out. Good for you.
Thank you.
Good for you. All the best. Yeah.
Well, as we like to say when Don Bennett joins us on our Mother's Day specials, nothing says happy Mother's Day like a divorce lawyer.
Yeah, okay.
But seriously, becoming a single mom can be unbelievably scary and overwhelming. But the fact is that, you know, and we say this, even people of faith end up divorcing because there's still that, I don't know, a crazy stigma attached to, oh, the Johnsons, let's pray for them. Why go? Because they're getting divorced.
Yeah, absolutely.
And there's a lot of judgment thrown on folks within the Jesus scene when they get divorced. A lot of judgment.
There is. But I mean, it's reality. And like you said, in the Bible, it was there from the time of Moses. So how are we going to change it now? It's just something that we have to deal with. And I think that the stigma comes from people wanting to be perfect, to show that they're actually these perfect people, but they're not. And life is hard, and there are challenges. But it's when you work through them. Any couple that I have dealt with, because I've had people come to me who want to get divorced and then they don't. Anyone who's done the hard stuff and worked through it, they never regret it. Hmm. They never said, you know, I should have gotten divorced. They're always like, I'm so glad I stuck it out. I'm so glad I worked it through. I'm so glad. But you both have to be committed to doing it. That's the thing.
Yeah. And dare I say, I think you both actually need to come to that point of like getting that close to getting divorced.
Yeah.
Because there are people that hang on and hang on and hang on, and then they look back and go, oh, I just wasted 40 years of my life, and my life is blah, blah, blah. But they never came to that actual point of, all right, enough. Mm-hmm. So something's got to change.
Exactly.
Either we break up or we work through this, one or the other.
Exactly. The do or die moment.
Yeah.
Yeah. And most people just kind of die. And those that actually push through, really, really push through, always better on the other side. Yeah.
People have asked me what I'm going to do after the show ends on June 29th. And I have said to people over the years, if I had unlimited wealth, there is one thing that I would love to do. Well, there are a couple things. One, I would love to travel around small town to small town, hang out at the local pub. Wait, there's more.
Okay.
Find out who, like the stories of the local people, find out who really needs a little bit of a leg up, a help. And I would love to be a secret Santa Claus for the rest of my life.
Mm-hmm.
Somehow get that money to that family, that woman, that person, that kid, whatever.
That'd be amazing.
And they have no idea where. No, yeah. TV, can't, no media, no Twitter account.
Just why a good Canadian
Why am I talking
kid.
Like Don Cherry?
Yeah.
The other thing I'd like to do is I would like to track down deadbeat dads.
And?
I can't say anymore.
Brass knuckles? Yeah. Or not lovingly the going bring to them good. Into doing the right thing.
Because when it comes to guys and divorce, separation, and then the kids are involved, and the guy thinks, well, he can check out now. Yeah. Dude.
But Drew, there are a lot of, in defense of dads, there are a lot of pretty vicious women out there too. You know, it isn't just deadbeat dads
I'm
that
aware
are
of that.
Making it. Like, there are some women that really...
But it's not going to go over that well if I throw a punch a woman. You know what I mean?
No, it will not. It definitely will not.
I just want to clear that up.
Okay.
It's
okay.
The deadbeat dads that I have a problem with.
I hear you.
I know there's some ladies out there that are cuckoo.
Yeah.
But come on, guys.
Yeah.
So let's get some advice out here for the single moms, okay?
Sure.
Let's get some advice out there for the women who are... They've got to deal with the child support stuff. So let's the first question, right?
Okay.
So the single mom sitting there and the child support is not paid on time. What do they do? Other than call Drew.
Well, yeah. Well, it depends. I mean, is there an order for child support or is the ex just giving them something every now and then? You know, because many times people separate. I mean, it just kind of happens. And then the person may say, okay, I'm going to give you $500 a month, or I'm going to pay the mortgage. And they don't, right? So in a case where there's money that's supposed to be coming and it's not coming, you need to get a court order. In the case where you have a court order and they're not adhering to the court order, then there's the Family Responsibility Office that enforces the court orders. So you don't need to pay a lawyer to have it enforced, right? So either get the person to pay willingly. If they won't pay willingly, get a court order. If they're not adhering to the court order, get FROTA and enforce the order.
What I heard you say in all of that is maybe with some couples, it's fairly amicable at the start. And people, especially God people, try to lean into the, well, let's not be too official on things. Let's get kumbaya about all this.
Yeah.
And then next thing you know, some emotions kind of sink in and somebody gets bitter and somebody starts dating someone else or whatever.
Exactly.
And the squirreliness starts coming out. And next thing you know, the payments aren't happening.
Yeah.
So are you saying get this stuff lined up appropriately at the start, officially on paper, documents signed, blah, blah, blah?
Yes, you need to have some kind of paper trail. So don't take cash. Take some kind of regular payment. Because what can happen as well, too, is let's say since this is Mother's Day, we'll have the dads be the bad guys.
Yes.
So the dad leaves and he says, okay, I'll pay the mortgage. The mortgage is $1,000 a month. And then the woman is counting on that and he'll give her cash. And then when he stops paying and she's like, okay, I'm not getting the money anymore. So she goes to court to get the money. And he's like, oh, I can't afford that. I can't afford this. And there's no paper trail showing that he actually paid that.
Right.
So if you're going to get some kind of payment, try not to take cash, but get the e-transfers, get them to do any kind of
paper
traceable paper trail.
But
that's the best way.
Wouldn't it be the same for the guy? Like if the guy, by the way, we are playing roles in this particular situation.
Okay.
So if the guy has been paying monthly for the mortgage.
Right.
And then things go squirrely and they end up going to the court, would the guy not also want to have a paper trail that says, I have been paying?
Sometimes, but it depends, because it can get complicated, because if, let's say they're at the point of maybe losing the house, and the woman's in the house with the kids, and the man's left, and he's living with the woman, and she owns a house, and he doesn't really care about the old house. He'll just let it sink, right? So many times people tend to act what is in their best interest at the moment. And so the best way to show what really happened is by looking at the paper trail, whatever it may be.
Okay. Yeah. I know three women right now who are in horrible marriages.
Right.
And they want to leave. It's not, I don't think it's at the point of a safety issue right now, but we can throw that into the mix in a second. They want to leave. They want the marriage to, but they want him to leave. And they want to stay. And they because if they leave, they don't have anywhere else to go. You know, are they, so how do they manage that?
Well, hang on. You're saying they want him to leave the marriage, or they want him to leave the house, or both?
Both, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. They want the marriage to be over, and they want the guy to leave. And because, you know, it's easier for the guy. He's making, maybe he's making the money, or he can, it's easier for him to find a place or whatever. Or let's go, let's do this. It's her and the kids. So what are you saying? You're saying that me and the kids should go out and find a little basement apartment somewhere and you stay in the house? How much sense does that make?
Well, it comes down to property rights, and they tend to trump the marital rights. So if someone has a legal interest in land, i.e. you own your matrimonial home, it's hard for someone to evict you, or in essence get exclusive possession of that home to your exclusion, to get possession of the home to your exclusion, unless you have a court order or a restraining order, something like that. The property rights will always prevail, unless you can show that the man remaining in the home is going to put the women or the children at harm or risk of harm.
Right.
Right?
Right.
Yeah. So you can't just, even though in reality it'd be better if he did leave for the peace of mind of the parents and the kids and the family dynamic, but many times there are real financial concerns where you can't afford to maintain two houses and pay for the kids. So what the court acknowledges, and I think even CRA as well, is separate and apart within the same home. Right? Someone's in the basement, someone's upstairs, and you just basically ignore each other. Yeah.
Is it true that once you leave the house, you lose your power of negotiation, or you lose a little bit of, like, as soon as whatever spouse decides to leave the house, they've lost a puzzle in the whole gamesmanship thing?
Okay. In a word, no.
Oh.
So there's a legal answer, and then there's a practical reality.
Okay.
So both spouses have the right to occupy the home. So let's say the house is only owned by the husband, and the wife thinks, if I leave, I'm not going to have anything because he owns the house.
Yeah.
By virtue of being a spouse, she has the right to occupy the home as long as they are both spouses.
Okay.
Right? But if she left, she doesn't lose the right to return to the home because she's still a spouse. That's the technical legal answer. But the practical reality is that if she leaves, then things happen like locks change, new woman moves in. Her stuff is out on the front. So they're different. It's harder to get back in once you do leave. And then the more time that passes, what I have seen in the courts is because they want to minimize the acrimony, they want to minimize the police being called, those kinds of confrontations. If someone's been out for a significant period of time, they rarely order them back in because they're like, oh, well, you're living with your parents now. Well, that's probably good. The kids are around their grandparents. You've got alternative accommodation. Let's just see what we can do with getting your interest out of the house, or getting some kind of money out of the house, rather than putting you back in a volatile situation.
Yeah. Well, I'm going to throw this scenario by you.
Okay.
The wife is sitting there saying, every time my kids go and visit their dad, they come back and their attitude is horrible to me, and they treat me like garbage.
Right.
And it feels to me like he is poisoning their minds. He's turning them against me. Can I change the visitation here? Can I? Because I don't want my kids to be around that kind of toxicity.
Okay. So the first thing is, if I'm to understand correctly, we don't know that the husband's actually poisoning the kids' minds, because a lot of, that's a very common thing that I hear, where the kid comes back, especially moms are always set on the routine. The kids are in a certain routine. Mm-hmm. They went to visit dad. Now everything's just gone all haywire.
Yeah.
It takes me a day to get them back into their routines, and it's horrible, and they're mean and angry. So it's very common. But the thing is, I think that as adults, we have to realize that kids are still kids, and they have the mentality of kids. And so I'll put myself as an example. I'm in my 40s, and I don't like packing up and going anywhere. I find it very stressful. And if I'm going on vacation, which is a fun thing, I'm still stressed as I'm thinking, okay, I got to pack, what am I going to bring, what am I going to do? And in this generation, because so many people are separated, you have these kids who pack up daily, weekly, back and forth.
Yeah.
And, you know, they left the art project here. I left my favorite shirt here. This went there. I forgot this is at mom's, this is at dad's. And because the parents aren't cooperating, the kid's bouncing back and forth. So the kid just can't handle it. So it may not necessarily be the father poisoning the kids. It might be. I'm not excluding it. Mm. But I wouldn't automatically assume the father's upsetting the kids against you. Therefore, the kids are angry at you. The kids could be angry at the process overall.
Sure.
So I would just say, speak to the kid and actually try to figure out what's going on rather than automatically assuming the other parent is the one that's really poisoning the kid against you.
Yeah, it might not be happening that way. It could be just Pop-Tarts and Captain Crunch that are setting them off.
Well, yeah.
Speaking of that, I just bought those yesterday.
Did you? Did you bring them in?
I brought Captain Crunch. Oh, no, I didn't. Sorry, Tim.
Oh, no, thank you. No problem.
Tim's good at keeping me on track.
Okay.
Because I get immersed in these conversations. Because I get really kind of wound up. No, I do about the about people playing games in this sort of thing. Mm-hmm. See, I ended up marrying somebody who doesn't know how to spell games. Like, she doesn't do drama. She doesn't do games.
That's good.
So much common sense, mm-hmm. which is one of the reasons I had a good look at life and decided to pull my head out of an orifice. And I sort of said, you know what? You are never going to find a woman like this ever again. Mm-hmm. Stop being a jerk.
Wow.
I say it to him all the time.
Would you stop it?
Wow. That's amazing.
What about the whole, I'm going to keep going on the guys here. Because honestly, I don't have a good opinion of guys when it comes to breaking up and that kind of thing. I know that there, look, again, I know that there are some women out there that are, you know, they're, next thing you know, they're boiling your rabbit.
Or breaking your ribs.
Or really?
Yeah.
What?
What?
Yeah, I had a client, his wife broke 3 of his ribs.
How?
By jumping on him when he was on the ground. But it's tough. It's tough for guys because women who beat men, normally the guys, they are so embarrassed and humiliated that they're not going to call the police. They're not going to go to a shelter. They just take the blows. And women can be vicious.
And they probably don't want to fight back, too.
It's not exactly, because they know that they would just kill them if they really did fight back. And some of these women, as I said, it's not just the guys. But we're focusing on the guys today because it's Mother's Day weekend.
Yes.
So, yeah. Let's have more bad men questions.
Let's have more bad men questions. Bad men. Okay, so the dude has got a woman of the week around, you know, this week, next week, whatever else. And the mom is sitting there going, this is not cool. I don't want my kids to be exposed to the one woman after another. What does she do about that?
Nothing. You can't do anything
about
it.
Dude, these are horrible answers.
No, but hang on a second. From you're asking me as a lawyer.
Yeah.
You want to speak practically? Yes. That's different. But if she's going to come to me, as many clients would, and say, oh, you know, my ex, he's brought this woman on Tuesday, another woman on Wednesday, and the kids are confused. There is an assumption that parents are responsible and acting in their kids' best interest. So it's perfectly legal to have your kid exposed to 6 different women if that's what you choose. The court's not going to prevent the parent from seeing that unless there's something that the mother can demonstrate puts the kids at harm or risk of harm as recognized by the court. Mm-hmm. Right?
And remember, so it's not illegal to be a bad role model.
No, perfectly legal. And because the courts are, especially divorce is no fault, they don't look at morality. Mm-hmm. So they wouldn't say, what message are you sending? It's just like, well, if that's what he wants to do, that's his choice.
Divorce is no fault?
Yeah. Where you been?
Just like car accidents.
Exactly.
I thought there was if one person was caught having an affair, they get smoked.
No. No fault. And the courts nowadays don't even want to talk about adultery. They're trying to get it out. And every time I go to court with a Christian client and they want to proceed on adultery, I end up getting blasted by the judge.
So because the judge says to you, I'm sorry, this isn't a place of morality?
Well, just that they don't, because there are less controversial legal grounds to proceed on. Mm-hmm. They don't want to have a mudslinging show, but my client's perspective and what I advocate is that it's not about mudslinging, but this is a legal ground. And for some Christian clients, they won't get divorced unless they have that ground.
All right. Yeah.
Right? And the courts will be like, well, proceed on separation because it's easier, cleaner, you're not finding fault. But it's not about that. It's about the person who's actually divorcing, adhering to their moral standards and their religious beliefs.
Okay. Sorry.
I thought like adultery was a cancellation of the marital contract. No. Isn't
biblically
it
is, but not in the court of law.
No, really? No. It just it doesn't it doesn't invalidate it or annul the marriage, but it's just a ground in which the contract can legally break as recognized by the law.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah.
Let's go back to the bad man scenario for a second. So Buddy drives up to the house to pick up the kids in his Jag, and it's not even the house. Buddy drives up to the apartment to pick up the kids in the Jag to take them back to his house. And Mom comes out and says, "Hey, Stevie wants to I almost picked Stevie. Stevie wants to play hockey this year, and I don't have the money to pay for it. Mm-hmm. Could you?" And Dad says, "No, that's your deal."
No, well, he
how does that work legally?
He can say that, but they'll both have to pay. So, assuming that you said Dad drove up with the kids.
No, Dad drives up to pick up the kids. You know, it's
to pick up the kids.
Yeah, yeah,
okay.
Yeah.
So if kids are with Mom and Mom's getting child support from Dad, even if she's getting child support from Dad, there are expenses that the court recognize as extra expenses or extraordinary expenses over and above what child support should pay. And that's paid in proportion to both parents' incomes. So let's say Dad earns 70, Mom earns 30,000, then their household income is 100,000 in the eyes of the court. Mm-hmm. So any extra expense, Dad would pay 70%, Mom would pay 30%. So
that seems fair.
Yeah. So it's in proportion to their actual incomes. Yeah. Mm. Yeah.
What about if Mom wants to take little Luigi and little Giuseppe back to Italy for a visit?
Back to the homeland.
Yeah, back to the homeland.
Yeah.
And Guido, Guido.
Man.
True.
I'm just trying to pick Italian names.
We're traveling across cultures. I can hardly wait for your next
Italian
question.
Names?
Yeah.
I don't know. Guido. No, now I'm thinking of Father Guido Sarducci from Second City.
Yeah. Saturday Night Live.
Saturday Night Live. Yeah, don't write a good story with facts, Tim.
Sorry. Leafs go.
But Dad says, no, you're not taking the kids over to Italy. No, to see your family. It's not happening.
Okay, so basically taking the kids out of Canada?
Yeah.
So one parent says no?
Yeah.
Go to court. Get an order.
Oh, and then that'll work?
If you can get the order.
Why wouldn't you get an order? What are they going to... Oh, okay. Hold on. Can I play judge for a second?
Excuse me, ma'am.
Excuse me, ma'am. I don't trust you. I think you're going to run away with the kids. No, you can't take the kids.
Yeah, exactly. If you want to see, go to court on December 23rd, December 24th. And
because the judges want to get out?
No, they do. But any court will be filled with family lawyers with motions. And they'll have, like, plane tickets in their hand saying little Johnny's supposed to be leaving tomorrow and so-and-so won't sign the travel consent. And here are the plane tickets and here's, you know, the $5,000 that you paid your lawyer to argue that you should actually get to go.
Oh, my goodness.
Travel motions.
How are you not a cynical jerk with having to deal with this stuff day in and day out?
Well.
Oh, you are?
I'm trying to think. Maybe not jerk, but sometimes I do get cynical.
Sure.
And a little bit bitter and sour and sad, but I focus on good things. Like one of my best friends from university, she's married with 5 kids and she's a stay-at-home mom. And she thinks that my life is so glamorous because, you know, you're in an office, you've got this great career. And I'm like, your life looks pretty good, you know? So I just focus on things that actually work and people that actually do stick it out and just do good. But you can't, I know it'll eat you inside if you focus on it too much.
Have you ever heard of a husband quitting work so that they don't have to pay spousal support?
All the time. Or child support or any kind of support.
All the time?
It happens a lot. But there are what we call the word escaped me. It's like there are provisions in the law to account for it. So the legal term is someone who is intentionally underemployed. Right?
Intentionally underemployed. That sounds like a good premise for a country music song.
Yes. It's the follow-up to divorce.
Yeah, exactly. So what happens is, say you have someone they're earning $100,000, wife goes to court to get support, and they said, I'd rather quit my job than pay you. So they quit their job. Then what the court says is, we're going to make the order as if you're still working. And so even though you're not bringing that money, the order is accruing. And all the consequences of that order happens. So if they don't make the money to actually pay it, then they can be arrested, they can be jailed, everything else. The order goes on whether they make the money or not. So they have to make the money to comply with the order. Otherwise, they'll pretty much end up in jail. Welcome to family law.
Why is your hand up? Do you have to go to the bathroom?
No.
Yes, Tim.
Although this is a question that's kind of crappy. Yeah. Can there be intention? Can you prove intentional buttheadedness? I have a friend whose spouse... It seemed like they were purposely registering their children for everything beyond what was really legitimate, because they knew that this person wasn't making as much money. And it almost seemed intentional. Can the court prove that? Or
well, what happens is the spouse who thinks, so we're talking about, let's say, extra activities.
Yeah.
They're doing swimming, dancing, this, that, and the other.
And more and more and more.
And then what ends up is that the spouse who's registering them goes to the other spouse saying, now you have to pay.
Yeah.
Right?
That's what happens.
So the spouse who believes that the kids shouldn't be in all these activities and can't afford to pay or just thinks it's too much, the argument they need to make before the court is to show, you need to show the incomes of both households and then look at all the activities. And the legal test is this a reasonable expense for this family with these incomes, right? So if mom puts the kids in some exclusive private school, $30,000 a year per kid, and says, I want the best for my children, you have to pay. Then dad comes back, says, you know, that's not reasonable. Look at my income, look at her income. Like, there are limits to what can actually be done in any family. And just because you're divorced or separated or not together doesn't mean that you get more.
Okay.
You put your kid in everything, yeah.
Yeah. Can I have my show back now?
Oh, I just, yeah.
Anything else, Tim?
Go no, ahead. Don't ask him.
No, that's okay. Anything for Tim. No.
Oh, my goodness. Let's get serious. Okay. With the amount of drama that you have had to endure and witness in family court, have you ever, like, seen a full-on bona fide miracle? Right?
In you, court?
Yeah, where you, I want to, you know, where you just kind of sat back and went, whoa, that was, that should not have happened. That is amazing. I wonder if God had something to do with that.
Not in court, but outside of court.
Really?
Outside of court, yeah. Definitely. Definitely. I had a client one time who was, you know, mom and divorcing young kids. And husband's just like, I don't love you anymore and this is too hard. I'm done. That was it. And they were Christians. So it wasn't any big drama, but she's just like, I'm done. Mm-hmm. And she had everything coming to her, the house, spousal, child support, everything. And we were at the, we're in my office negotiating, and she knew that she could really get everything from him. And he'd been very unkind to her, very unkind throughout the process. And I just said, okay, I'm here to advise you on the legal aspects. Here's the A to Z of what you can get. And she was content. And when he came to the room, knowing that basically he's going to lose his shirt legally, and that's, it is what it was. And she looked at him and she said, I'm going to show you grace.
Wow.
And this is, she took just enough, forget about what the law said, and she took just enough that she knew that her and the kids needed, and said, the rest you can use to start over. And he sat there and he just, he broke and he was so ashamed and he was, because he finally had to recognize, because he had treated her horribly, horribly. And she turned around and she was just good to him. And I thought, this is what it should be.
Yeah.
But it takes, I you don't see it very often, but that was like maybe 15 years ago. And I still remember that.
Yeah. What's, Tim, one of your sayings? Yeah. Grace trumps karma.
Yep.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
Good.
Yeah.
So good. I am a big creepy fan of yours.
Okay.
Okay.
Emphasis on creepy or what?
Yeah. Bennettlaw.ca. You've heard about her for years on the show and so proud to be able to tell everyone about you. Thank you for partnering with our show. Our show happened because of you. So anybody out there who's been praying for our show to end, you can blame Dawn Bennett. Okay.
Yeah. Whatever. It's been great, Drew.
Apparently she's
been
got
great.
Marijuana, so it should be okay.
No, it's been great. It's been great. Thank you so much.
Well, I'm serious, Dawn. You know I'm serious. Thank you. It's been such a pleasure to partner with you. And it's such a refreshing feeling to be able to genuinely stand behind somebody who's an advertising partner. So thanks
for
making it easy.
Thanks for a great show.
Yeah. Dawn Bennett, ladies and gentlemen, family lawyer, divorce attorney, and incredible roller skater. Just phenomenal.
Okay.